Let's go back to where we read in the book of Acts and chapter 2. And I want to go to the last verse of the chapter for our starting point this morning. But just to recap, we have over the past many Sunday mornings been looking at the resurrection, the theme of the resurrection. I've still got three or four messages to go on that. And this is one of them this morning. The resurrection, I've been excited by it myself. I hope you have been, just looking at the evidence for it, just looking at how we can be absolutely confident that it happened from a historic point of view, and then looking at what it means for our lives, because it's not just some wonderful thing that happened way back then. It actually means something for us personally today. So Acts 2 tells us about all the great things that followed on from the day of Pentecost, the giving of the Spirit, the preaching of Peter. And at verse 47, we read of the church praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When I was 7 years old, I moved from Gairloch, on the west coast, north from here, beautiful Gairloch, in its rural west coast splendour, to a housing scheme in Easter Ross, to Shilling Hill in Alness. It was quite a shock, I have to say. I don't know if I've ever really recovered from that shock. But every afternoon, as I was getting used to life in my new setting, I would hear music, and it would sort of come on and off for about half an hour, and then it was gone. And the next day, the music would start again, and it would stop for a while, and there'd be a bit more music, and it would stop for a while. And I wondered where this music was coming from. Was it a noisy neighbour, or was it, someone practicing their instrument or whatever? And the weeks went by, and I heard this music, and then one day I saw it. The ice cream van. It was a new discovery for a lad from Gairloch who wasn't used to such innovations. But once I knew that there was something real behind the music, I made use of it. I expected it. I expected the ice cream van to come. And when it did come, I begged for money, and I got it. And I spent it at the ice cream van, and I have the fillings to prove it. Well, we've come here today and we're making music too. We're making music to Jesus. That is something that Christians should do every day. We make melody in our hearts. Perhaps we like singing. Some people just go through their whole day singing as Christians to Jesus. But the music is there, but do we at the same time recognise the reality behind the music? Are we like me when I arrived in Shilling Hill, kind of hearing this music but just not really knowing what was going on behind it? Do we come to church and just sing about Jesus, but it's just music and we don't actually know that there's something real behind the music? Or do we recognise the reality as well? The reality that is like the ice cream van, it's there every day, and it's a reality that can change our lives and fill our lives every day. Well, it certainly was like that for the people that we're reading about in the book of Acts after the day of Pentecost. And we read at the end of the chapter there, in verse 47, that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now remember, we're preaching about on the theme of the resurrection. So I'm wanting to ask, what does that mean for me and for you today? I believe the resurrection took place. I believe Jesus died on a cross. I believe he rose physically, bodily, back to life. He was dead and now he's alive. What does that mean today? Well, what it meant certainly for the people in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost was that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, who is the Lord in that verse? Who is the Lord? Verse 47 speaks about God as well. The church is praising God. They're making music, they're praising God, enjoying the favour of all the people. And it says, and the Lord added to their number. Is the Lord the same person as God in verse 47? If it is the same person, why would Luke, who's writing this history, who's making this record, why would he use a different word? Why would he not say, and God added to their number? Or why would he not say just, and he added to their number? Why does he say, and the Lord added to their number? He's speaking about God. He's also speaking about the Lord. Is the Lord someone else in addition to God? Well, if we go back into Peter's sermon in chapter 2, and we read, for example, at verse 34, Peter quotes from one of David's Psalms, Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. There's two lords. Who are they? Jesus, remember, quoted this psalm when he was being questioned by the aggressive authorities and the Pharisees and so on. He says, what do you make of this? He said, there's two lords. There's the Lord saying to my Lord. So, who are they? And Peter tells us in verse 36, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Aha! It's a light bulb moment. The Lord is Jesus. The Lord God said to my Lord Jesus, sit at my right hand. I remember a few weeks ago we thought about the ascension of Jesus after the resurrection to sit at the place of power at the right hand of God. The Lord that's been spoken of here is Jesus. Jesus is Lord and Christ, says Peter. This man you crucified, this man you thought you got rid of, who rose from the dead, has ascended to the right hand of the Lord, the right hand of God in heaven. He is himself Lord, and he has sent his Spirit to his church. And now we read, as time goes past after the day of Pentecost, that same Lord, verse 47, is adding to the number of those who are being saved daily. The Lord is Jesus. Jesus is the one who's working in the church. Jesus is the one who is adding to the number of the believers. And remember, we've already seen this, we've thought about this, that this is what we need to believe as Christians, that it's absolutely central to our belief as Christians, that Jesus is the risen Lord. Like, Christians can often focus on other things in their faith, and things that are very important. And this morning we did this in Kyle. We got adults and children to say what they thought was the most important thing that Christians believe. And some people said, well, to believe that God exists, or to believe that God made the world, or to believe that God provides for our needs, or to believe that Jesus died on the cross. And there was lots of things. Someone thankfully said to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And if you look through the Bible, if you remember, I did this, and you can, if you want to follow this up, the sermons on the website, you can listen to it. That the New Testament, when it speaks about Christians believing, the thing that they believe centrally is that Jesus rose from the dead. He is the risen Lord. So when we come to verse 47 and we meet the Lord, it's none other than the Jesus whom the disciples before had lived with in Galilee and in Judea, the one who taught the parable of the sower, the one who gave the Sermon on the Mount, the one who calmed the storm, the one who fed the 5,000. It's that Jesus, the one who died on a cross. It's that Jesus who's now risen, ascended, at God's right hand, the Lord at the right hand of the Lord, who is adding to the church on a daily basis. That's exciting. What's he doing? It says he's adding. He's adding to the church. Now Jesus had told the disciples he'd do it. And it must have seemed very unlikely to them. As they sat perhaps just with Jesus, maybe eating some food in the rustic settings of a fishing village in Galilee or whatever, Jesus would say things like, this is Luke chapter 10, no one knows who the Father is, God the Father is, except that me, the Son, and those to whom I choose to reveal him. I'll reveal the Father, I'll reveal God to people. In Matthew 16 he said, I will build my church. I'll build it. John chapter 5, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. I give life to people. I bring people alive. John 10, speaking about the sheep, I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus does it. John 17, in his great prayer, he says to the Father, you granted me authority over all people that I might give eternal life to those you've given him. And Jesus goes on saying things like this, and the disciples must have scratched their heads and says, but you're just a man sitting there with us. How can you give people eternal life? How can you reveal the Father? How can you build the church on your own? Well, Jesus now is no longer the man of Galilee with his disciples. Jesus is the Lord at the Father's right hand. The risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has sent on the day of Pentecost the Holy Spirit to the church. He is the head of the church. He sent the Spirit to the church, and he is working all over the place in his divine, glorious, lordly power, adding to the church. John Stott, one of the people I was reading about this, says this. He says, the Lord, that is Jesus, added to their number. Doubtless he did it through the preaching of the apostles, the witness of church members, the impressive love of their common life, and their example as they were praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. Yet he did it. Jesus did it. For he is the head of the church. He alone has the prerogative to admit people into its membership and to bestow salvation from his throne. Jesus, the Lord, building his church, person by person, in the world. Now I confess that up until recently, when I would read the book of Acts and I would come across this verse, and there's a lot of other verses like it, which speak about the Lord working, that I would tend to read the word Lord there as meaning God. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all, nothing wrong with that. But I was missing something. And it's been a great blessing recently to add that thing that I was missing to my life. I was missing the exciting reality that this is Jesus, the risen Saviour, who's at work adding to his church daily. Jesus. Now, where have we got to in thinking about the resurrection? Well, we believe Jesus is risen. We believe it's historically credible. It's something that happened. We believe that Jesus is ascended. He is the Lord at God's right hand. We believe, as we're seeing here, that he's sent his Holy Spirit to the church. We believe then that he is present with his true church. Wherever his people are in the world, he's present with his church. We believe then that he's adding to the number. He's working in his church. But it's not just in the past. It's a daily thing, it says here. We believe that Jesus is working today in and through his church. And that means that our faith has got to become personal. It's not just about, Jesus died way back then and we remember that at Easter, that he died and he rose again. It's got to be about us today. Jesus is risen and alive and working in us and through us and around us today through you and through me. And that we look for that, because if we believe it, then we expect it. We look around for it. What's Jesus doing? What's he doing in our community? What's he doing now? What's he doing here? And it's that we ask him to work. We pray to him. We ask Jesus, please work in this situation. Please help in this situation. Please change this situation. Please work in this person. Please draw this person from darkness to light. And we expect things to happen. We expect him to work. Now, we all know what it means to expect things. To expect things to be true. To expect things to happen. This morning when you got up, you expected water to come out of the tap when you wanted to fill your kettle. And when you clicked the switch on your kettle, you expected the electricity to flow in and heat up the element and for the water to heat up and for the kettle to come to the boil. If you switched on the telly to see the breakfast news or whatever, you expected the news to come on. If you had to drive to church, you got into your car and you turned your ignition, you expected the car to start and for you to be able to drive here. Tomorrow, if you get in your car and you go off to the co-op, for example, to buy some food, you'll expect that there'll be food on the shelves. If you pick up your phone to phone a friend, you'll expect an answer and a friendly voice at the other end. We go through life expecting things. Well, a Christian is someone who expects the Lord Jesus to be at work in our lives. We expect because this is what verse 47 is telling us. The Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. We expect the Lord to add. We expect the Lord to work in our lives. He's not sitting passively or in a position of observation on his throne. He is present by his Spirit in his church in the world today. And we expect to see the evidence of that in his working in people's lives. I was speaking to Jamie Stewart this week down in London. He had his first wedding in the congregation in Sidcup yesterday. And we were chatting away and he was excited about his work because last week a young man became a Christian just out of the blue. A young man who was just starting to ask questions, and Jamie gave him a couple of things away to read with him. A couple of days later he phones up Jamie and says, I'm a new person. I believe, I understand. I'm forgiven. I'm a new person. The Lord is building his church. The Lord is adding. It's happening all over the world. And we look for it here too. Because the word in verse 47 is the word daily concerning the frequency of Jesus' work. Just like we get up in the morning and we expect to find that the sun has risen. So Christians should get up in the morning and expect to find that the risen sun is working again this day. Expectations based upon the reality of the resurrection and of Jesus' lordship and his presence in the world. I do think that Christians often, especially at times when things are maybe against the church, or maybe the church is supposedly in decline or whatever in a particular part of the world, that Christians then begin to look to the past. They begin to look to the better days. better days in their own lives, better days in the community, better days in their country. And they spend too much time looking back at what Jesus did in the past, when we need to be looking to what he's going to do and what he is doing now. We can easily become satisfied, and we can make it almost a religion to look back, on past experiences, to be happy at what revivals happened in the past. There was a kind of religion of that in Jerusalem. Verse 29, Peter describes the patriarch David, that he was dead and buried, and his tomb is here to this day. And of course, David represented the glory days of Israel. David was the high watermark in terms of their kings and in terms of the fortunes of Israel. And it would be easy to go out to David's tomb and long for the past, long to be in the past, reflect on and live in better days, and to buy the biographies and to live on the way things were in the past. People do make religion out of the past like that. But Christians can't do that. And the reason we can't do that is there isn't a tomb of Jesus to visit. You can't go and visit the tomb of Jesus, because Jesus is risen. He's ascended to glory. He's at God's right hand. He's alive now, here and now. And therefore, we don't need to dwell in the past and wish that we were in the past or long for the past. We've got the risen Jesus with us daily, now, in our experience. And so we need to hear the words of the angel. Remember, the woman went to the tomb. The tomb stone had been moved, and the angel was there, and he said to the woman, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And they might have said, well, he was here yesterday. No, well, yes, he was. Well, he wasn't really. It was just his dead body. But he's not here because he's risen. He's alive. And Christians can do that. We can say, well, you know, it worked yesterday. When I did this yesterday, I met with Jesus. Or when people followed this particular way of doing the Christian religion 10 years ago, then they got a blessing. Or in the past, in revival times, they followed this particular formula of doing things and Jesus met with them. But that's looking to the past. Jesus is now. And we can seek him today. We can seek him daily. We can meet with him daily. We can expect to see him working in our lives daily. So when we come together to sing and we make our music, there is a reality behind the music. Just like there was the sweet reality of the ice cream van, there is the sweet reality of the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. So we don't just sing the hymn, for example, "Jesus Christ is risen today, hallelujah." It's our experience. He is with us. The risen, living, present, glorious Lord is here and at work today. When Jesus ascended, just before he ascended, he said these words. This is in Matthew 28. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me," because he was about to ascend to the right hand of the Father, the place of power. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand." He said, "All authority is given to me." Therefore, he said to his church, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And this is what he said, "And behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The risen Jesus, with all authority, the Lord, with us as we do his work, as we go and make disciples. And we can expect the Lord to be at work daily with us and for the church locally, which isn't in its best days just now, to once again see Jesus locally adding daily to the numbers of those who are being saved. The Lord, the risen Lord, who's at work all over the world as I speak today, we should be looking for this risen Lord today here, praying for this, working for this, and expecting it. The risen Lord here in your life, in my life, in our community, in these situations all around us where people are experiencing problems and troubles, where people are lost, where people are in darkness, where people are burdened by their guilt and destroyed by the bad decisions that they've made. The Lord Jesus, adding daily, building his church. We can be expecting that and looking for that. And why? Because he is risen. Therefore, as Peter finished off his sermon, let all Israel know this for sure. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And he's here. Hallelujah.